Downloading.
Downloading.
Audio.
Nonstop.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
Talking about fighting together for a gospel-saturated marriage today on SOS Radio. We're talking to author D.A. Horton. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm blessed, bro. Thanks for having me on.
So I know you and your wife, Alicia, wrote a book about marriage. I guess it'd be hard to write a book about marriage by yourself, right? That's easy.
It kind of defeats the purpose, man.
So you and Alicia wrote about entering the ring. Obviously, the fighting metaphors, because it's not just about fighting each other. It's about fighting back against the world and all the lies that are thrown at us.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's the whole essence of what we're trying to communicate, is that we spent so much time early on in our relationship fighting each other that, man, we were just being taken, you know, victimized by the world system, by our flesh, and by the enemy of our soul. And it wasn't until the Lord gave us sobering moments throughout the course of our time together that we begin to recognize we need to stop fighting each other and fighting with each other against those things that are attacking us to try to break us apart from each other.
It's so interesting, D.A., about the culture we live in today, because as we grow up, we look at the way that our parents did things, and now we live in a little different world, but still a lot of us bring this idea of a contract when we come to the table and say, hey, we're going to get married. Two become one as long as you do what I need and I do what you do and we agree on this, but that's not how God laid this out. It wasn't really a contract. It was more of a covenant.
Absolutely. And I mean, just in light of it being a covenant, the beautiful truth is, covenant gives the idea of permanency, and it's the idea that, man, this is something that's going to be long-lasting for generations to come. And when you enter something with that kind of a mindset, the reality is you want to fight for it. You want to preserve it. You want to extend grace and mercy when those things that you said you would do in those wedding vows that are always so lofty and romantic, when the honeymoon is over and when life rhythms hit, you begin to recognize, man, I'm not living up to everything that I said that I was going to do. And that's where it needs both partners ensuring that there is a rhythm of grace, that you're breathing grace on each other, because all of that is a tangible illustration for how God does us, breathing grace through all of our infractions, loving, bathing us with compassion. And if the people who are watching our lives and our marriages can see us do that to each other because we're recipient of God giving those things to us, then prayerfully that'll draw them to jealousy to seek the God that we serve.
How do you see that tension of two becoming one is the way the Bible lays that out differently than what the world wants to say? Oh, two become one, okay.
So often we recognize that, you know, we fight over which one are we going to become, and we automatically assume that the other person is going to assimilate to our oneness, our personal individuality. And when we look at the scriptures, what we begin to recognize is that there's beauty in diversity. There's beauty in distinction. It's even sexist for me to try to force my wife into a paradigm that, oh, she's the female version of me. Those kind of things we had to learn early on together through honest dialogue and understanding the diversity and the unique contributions that we make to the marriage. And then we had to identify what are the barriers that are keeping us from developing this oneness. There was obviously our upbringings and the life rhythms that we brought into our marriage. There was also past mistakes and sexual baggage. There was financial philosophies that we had that were countering. So we had to look at what are the things that are keeping us wedged and divided, and then how can we together break down those walls of hostility? And again, that's exactly what we see Jesus' work do and accomplish in Ephesians 2. So that therefore every man-made built wall of segregation in our marriages or even in our relationships in local churches, the finished work of Christ and his resurrection show that all those walls can be obliterated and oneness can truly be achieved.
I love that, about tearing down the wall so we can pursue oneness and actually achieve it. We're talking to author D.A. Horton on SOS Radio. We'll talk more about marriage and how we set up our priorities and our plan coming up next on SOS Radio. We're talking about setting up a real rhythm for our marriage with author D.A. Horton today at SOS Radio. We're trying to figure out our flow and our strategy and our rhythm. What order should we think about jobs versus spouse versus kids and God and calling, and how that all plays into the way that we set up our order of priorities?
Yeah, in our lives, you know, what Alicia and I had discovered is that when we did not pursue God holistically, I mean with our whole being, everything else was out of whack. And that's something that we had to learn, because, again, these things are post-marriage. We had to learn these things after we were married. We should have been developing these rhythms before we got married, and it was just poor excuses on our end that kept us spiritually immature. But once we began to develop a greater love and a greater desperation for God, then naturally flourished into a more organic and greater desperation for each other, which then helped us prioritize work, family relationships, friendships, local church commitment, and the reality then of individual calling and then corporate calling on our families. And you have all those nuances that just develop a complexity of this mosaic of our lives together. And in a lot of times it's messy, and it's supposed to be messy because life is messy. But the beautiful thing is God is still present tense working on that mosaic, and he's forming a masterpiece both individually and corporately. And that's what we had to begin to recognize, like, what is God calling us to do? It's not just a me anymore. So in all of my pursuits and in all of Alicia's pursuits, and even as we're empowering our children to work through those tensions as well with their pursuits, we're asking God in all of our desires to plan, all of our desires to accomplish goals, all of our desires to, man, you know, even if it's recreational things, we're submitting those things to the Lord and asking him to open doors to give us understanding and discernment what his will is, and to close doors. And it's dealing with life's joys and disappointments that were forged together through fiery trials and melded together into that oneness, not just as husband and wife, but also as families. And then we're commissioning our children as they leave our homes. We're leveraging and sending them out as missionaries to go and do the same. Wherever God puts them in this world.
We're talking about order and strategy in our marriage with author D.A. Horton on SOS Radio. He has a new book. It's called Enter the Ring. Now, when we set up our marriages, God first, then our relationship with our spouse, then the kids fall under the authority of that. Sometimes the kids will want to push back a little bit, like, wait, you love mom more than me. Wait, how does this go? Are we all equals? And you say, actually, you fall under the protection of this marriage covenant.
Absolutely. In our situation, it's a little complex because there's a nuance that Alicia, she has multiple sclerosis. And so there's even times where I have to have those honest conversations with my older children and telling them, like, you know, you're going to be with us for a limited amount of time, and then we're going to launch you out into the world as God calls you to leave the nest, so to speak. But I remain with your mom, and I will remain with her for the rest of my days on this side of eternity. So the complexities of what she has and her status of her health that is, you know, her symptoms, they flare up when she's under extreme amounts of pressure and stress. And those kind of nuances, I have to remind my children, like, I love your mom and I love you, but my love for you children is differently than it is for your mom. And I have to explain those things. And my wife does the same thing to our children because we're trying to introduce them to the biblical godly concept of love, but even love within the boundaries and the boundaries between a husband and wife. That's a different type of a shared love that children should know and begin to see is healthy, but at the same time, it's different than the way a father loves his daughters or his son. And beginning to appropriate those things to our children and show them those categories is going to actually help them in the long run, that when they, in God's grace, are married and when they have children, they'll be able to establish those unique, beautiful components of their nuanced relationships and show the priority, and at the same time champion their children to let them know, I love you differently, but there's a different categorization because you're my child, you're not my spouse. So we have those conversations with them, and, you know, over the course of time, that's when we'll begin to see, by God's grace, the Lord bear those fruits from those discussions that we're sowing those seeds in during this time of life.
Now, what would you suggest for those that have more of a blended family relationship? Maybe they have children from a previous relationship. They get remarried to a great godly spouse, but where does that order come in that covenant?
Yeah, and that's where, you know, as we think through the reality of blended families, you have to understand it's a nuanced approach. It has to be done very tenderly. You want to seek to maintain a positive relationship if the other biological parent is involved in the life of the child and also of the other spouse. And so as you begin to work through those rhythms, that's where it's a distinction. And that's where there has to be a level of being cordial with the other parent that's not a part of the marriage covenant and engaging with how life rhythms and distinctions are made in the Christian home. And if the other person is a Christian, then prayerfully that synergy works well. And it's a great attribution of the gospel in those lives. But if it's a non-believing, then the home rhythm should really be seen as an evangelistic effort to show them this is what it looks like, unveiling what we're seeking, trying to be sanctifying under the power of the Holy Spirit in our life rhythm, is that, you know, we're setting up boundaries. There are certain components that the biological parent should have the right to speak into, where the person who married into the family and they were blessed to inherit this family, they have to learn what those modes of operation are. And they have to guard their spouse's heart, even when there's tensions with the other biological spouse that's not a part of the home. They have to begin to shepherd and guide and begin to think through how they can work through conflict resolution, work through the nuances of childcare, so that at the end of the day, it's the child's welfare, their spiritual health, emotional health, sexual health, financial health, all those things are considered. And basically, it can be a team effort approach, but still given the respected boundaries of the home with the family that is husband and wife raising the children.
We're talking to author D.A. Horton today at SWS Radio. He's a pastor in North Long Beach, California, and his new book's called Enter the Ring, and it's about marriage.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
I find it interesting rather than stupid. Yeah, I learn something every day.
Connect with us anytime at sosradio.net.